Take your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about a fellow named Demas. And we'll read the story here. Paul, writing here to Timothy, said, I charge thee therefore before God. I'm in 4:1, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now within these passages of Scripture, you'll see some things that are going on here. In the ministry, Paul has gathered around has had preachers with him through the ministry. Now some of them have gone out to other places. And he says about Demas that he had forsaken him. So I want you to notice tonight the contrast between some men who here around Paul, that they all started out serving God. And you got the Apostle Paul on the one hand, and then this fellow named Demas, along with another preacher, John Mark. And as the Apostle Paul here charges young Timothy, he speaks to the obstacles ahead of him in the ministry. Every work of God is always challenged by the devil. There are always going to be obstacles to any ministry. So here he charges Timothy about these obstacles. He says, preach the word. He said, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He told Timothy that things wouldn't always run smoothly. There's going to be some battles you're going to have to fight. And in so many words, said some folks just aren't going to be interested in the truth. A truth is a tough sell, especially in the latter days. It always has been. The Lord told the Pharisees, said, you want to kill me because I tell you the truth. And just as there are a lot of fake news today, there's a lot of fake news back in the day. Since time immemorial, truth has always had a battle. So he told Timothy that things wouldn't always go smooth and said you'll have some rocky roads. But he encouraged Timothy that whenever things got tough, he said you need long-suffering. You got to endure some things. You've got to be long-suffering toward those things and know that God's still in control and God's going to make it all work out. And you just go on for God. He said in verse 4, said, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. That's a soul winner, someone who evangelizes. Win souls to Christ. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. Now here we notice that Paul is near the end of his ministry here. And he had seen a lot of things. So a lot that Paul is saying here, he speaks from experience. Paul had given a similar charge over in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He said this in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 6, 3. He said, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, and by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Now, Paul knew what he was talking about, and then he knew and understood that things would only get worse. And I look at these passages, and I'm thinking I'm wanting to go down and strangle somebody at planning and zoning because we don't have our permits. And then I hear the word of God slaps me in the face and tells me, you just be patient, fella. You just be patient that the ministry be not blamed because of your impatience. So it's got to kind of speaks to my heart. You know, and all this little sidebar and all this stuff with planning and zoning, Jeremiah and Dennis has been doing all that. Because if I'd have handled that, you guys would have to just keep bailing me out of jail. And by now, the bond would be set so high, probably the church couldn't bail me out of jail. So I don't have a lot of patience with bureaucracies, it seems like. But God says we need to be patient. As ministers, we can't fly off the handle and tell somebody we're going to punch them out, because that's not how God does business. So anyway, I'll refer to one of my favorite verses in Psalm 57, 2. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God who performeth all things for me. I'm going to have to depend on that. We need to depend on that. We've made all the phone calls we can make. Been 3 months now. We've been without a sign and without lights out here. So God knows that. We'll trust God that will take care of business. Or we'll get Teddy a flashlight and help everybody out to their cars if push comes to shove. But he told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11:24, Paul is giving his pedigree and talking about everything that he's gone through in the ministry. He said, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night, a day, I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold, often rather, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Wow. Paul had been through it. Now I look at my ministry, I haven't been through anything like that. Man, God has kept me out of the fire, I guess because he knows I can't handle it. But God has kept me from all those problems here at the church. Of course, about every night I pray that God put a hedge about our church. Put a hedge, keep the devil away from this church, and you put a hedge about us and help us get through these things and bring you glory and do those things for you. And God has. But Paul had gone, he had been through it. And he went on to say that, in verse 6, let me look at, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I like that verse. That's a promise. That's a promise of a crown to anyone who is looking forward to the imminent return of Jesus Christ. You love his appearing. That's a promise of a crown for those people who look forward to our Lord's return. But then Paul went on to say, no doubt with some sadness and disappointment, the loss of his fellow laborer, Demas. He said in verse 10, said, for Demas hath forsaken me. He says, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans, unto Galatia, and Titus, unto Dalmatia. So one of the preachers dropped out on him. Now the word Demas means popular, or a ruler of the people. And the first time that Demas shows up in Scripture is in the book of Colossians. And this is about 4 years earlier, if the chronology is right. And it says in Colossians 4:14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So Demas shows up there with Luke and Paul. And he is also spoken of in Philemon 24, which most theologians place a couple years before Colossians. And Paul says in Philemon 1:24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, and he calls them my fellow laborers. So evidently Demas was a fellow that Paul depended on. He was in the ministry with him. There wasn't that many, and he was called a fellow laborer, had a good testimony here with Paul in Colossians. And he's also spoken of, it seems like every time that he shows up, let me say that, it's in a context with Luke and Mark. So this is a pretty good group. And remember, Luke was a physician, the beloved physician. And it appears because of Paul's, remember all his often infirmities? He had a thorn in his flesh because of the revelations he had seen, and God gave him a thorn in the flesh to buffet him so he wouldn't be lifted up in pride because of all the abundance of the revelations. But he talked about his often infirmities, and it looks like Dr. Luke traveled with him. Most of the later part of Paul's ministry had the doctor with him. Just thought I'd throw that in. So now Mark, we see Mark mentioned here, John Mark. In contrast to Demas, John Mark, he started out by forsaking Paul. Remember, they got in a big argument. Now that's very unusual to have Christians fight, argue. I don't think that is very unusual. Anyway, but Mark, he started out and left Paul, but it's later referred to by Paul as being profitable for the ministry. So Mark gets back on course. Mark started out and got upset. They got upset with each other and they split up. But then Mark shows up again and he's done right. He's been profitable for the ministry. So John Mark had a moment of weakness, but he loved the Lord enough to come back and serve the Lord. Now Demas, on the other hand, started out as one of Paul's fellow laborers. And here, there in Philemon, and he ended up forsaking him about 6 years later here in our text. He'd had his fill of it, I guess. He'd had enough. So I want to look just a second at what it was that caused a man like Demas to quit on God. Man, sometimes the pressure's on. You're just tired of it. You don't want to do it anymore. But it don't appear that was the case with Demas here. But Demas was in Paul's inner circle here of preachers. And this crowd was the greatest preachers of the day. If Demas was preaching today, he'd probably have his picture of Dr. Demas on the Sword of the Lord pages and all these meetings. He'd be a featured preacher with his picture up there. He is in that group, as Brother Joel Greer called them, the heavy hitters in the ministry. And there are some. God raises up men that are just a little head and shoulders above most preachers. And I love those men, and I thank God for those men. And Demas was in that group of the greatest preachers of the day, with Paul and John Mark and Luke. Man, that's quite a group. And Dr. Demas, right up there with Dr. Paul and Dr. Luke, Dr. Mark. But something happened with Demas that caused him to bail out on God. And evidently, I don't see anywhere where he shows up back in the ministry. If the chronology is right, most of them go by Usher's chronology with the dates of when these scriptures were written. But something happened with Demas. And the only clue that we have about Demas as to why he left is the fact that the only thing Paul says was that Demas loved this present world. So it appears that Demas had a love problem. He don't give specifics, but and these preachers, surely they were celebrities. Celebrity status, perhaps maybe because of that. There's a lot of pressure on those that have celebrity status. Maybe Demas, because of his celebrity, started thinking a lot higher, had a much higher opinion of himself than he should have. I've seen that a lot. Folks that they get success and getting recognized for being successful, and all of a sudden they turn into somebody that is not pleasing to God. It's been probably a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years, a young fellow who I talked about the other day, his name is Austin Prock, and Austin was hired by John Force Racing, and he races top fuel dragsters in the National Hot Rod Association, and he's up for Rookie of the Year. He's going, and all the TV announcers, last time I watched him, said he's going to be a big star in top fuel drag racing. And he's in his 20s, young fella. Got saved out at Victory Baptist Church in Morrisville. And early on, they were giving him advice, and I wrote a post to Austin Prock about, remember where you came from. Those friends that you had before your success starts, you maintain those friendships. You don't forget where you came from. Ricky Skaggs had a song, "Don't Get Above Your Raisin." That may have been what happened to Demas here. He might have got above his raisin. It don't give specifics. Maybe it was a woman. A lot of preachers leave the ministry because they take off with some skirt, and that's the end of their ministry. Part of that has to do with the celebrity factor, too. They're real popular. People always hanging around them. Maybe it was money. Maybe Dr. Paul, just wasn't paying Demas quite what he thought he was worth. But it don't say. I'm just posturing some things that I've seen happen with preachers. But what it does say is that Demas had a love problem. Demas evidently got so caught up with the world that his love for the world grew greater than his love for the ministry that God had given him. So for whatever reason, and Paul said it's because he loved this present world, he left the ministry. Hey. I think probably the reason that a lot of Christians aren't doing anything for God today is because they just don't love him enough. It's a love problem. They've allowed themselves to be enamored by the things of this world. They're intrigued by the things of this world. They find their place and their portion in the things of this world. And when you allow that to happen, serving God becomes secondary. And to God, God wants the preeminence. But many love the present world more than they love the omnipresent Lord our God. Some Christians who haven't missed a day of work in years, at the first little sniffle, they'll lay out of church. What's that about? Love problem. You know why nobody wants to go on visitation? It's hard to get a crowd for visitation. Why some Christians refuse to tithe, refuse to read their Bibles, refuse to pray every day. What may have started out as something very innocent is turned into a love problem. They've kind of fallen out of love with the God that brought them and saved them. And I've always contended, and that if you get someone to fall in love with the Lord, you don't have to go hunting. You don't have to go hunting that fella or that woman. You get them to fall in love with the Lord, that's enough to motivate them. They're motivated by love. I remember as a policeman for many years, one of the most dangerous calls that a police officer can get called to is one as a domestic where passion is involved, where someone loves this woman or woman loves this person, that person, and they're capable of anything when the motive is love. Here it affected Demas because in a negative way because he loved the wrong things. At one point, it looked like he was on fire for God. But you get a man to fall in love with the Lord, you don't have to go hunting that man. He's in the Lord's house on the Lord's day because he loves the Lord. He's thankful. You find a man that loves fishing more than he loves the Lord, he's going to be out in the boat on Sunday morning. All the devil has his ways. The devil will encourage his crowd to schedule every ball tournament on church day. They'll schedule everything in the world on church day. That's the devil's doings right there, folks. And I always, forget how I turned this thing around. You give a man a fish and he'll eat one time, but you teach a man how to fish and he'll buy a boat and he'll lay out a church for the rest of his life. That's kind of, oh well, that's not quite how it went originally. But you find a man that loves to hunt more than he loves the Lord, he's going to be in the woods on Sunday morning. It's just, am I telling the truth? That's how it is. You find somebody that loves to sleep in on Sunday morning more than they love the Lord, they're going to be in bed at church time. You know, you'll never have a great relationship with God if you don't have a great relationship with God's house. For where your treasure is, the Bible says, Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Demas had lost his heart for the ministry. You know why a lot of Christians aren't doing anything to serve God today? Well, like Demas, they've dropped out on God because they're so enamored by the things of this world. 1 John 2:15, John wrote, said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Demas could have been a pillar of faith. He was right up there with the heavy hitters, so to speak. He was surrounded by the greatest preachers of the day. But for whatever reason, his love became misplaced. And no doubt Paul had the same worldly pressures that Demas did. You see what all Paul went through. Paul could have quit. He could have given up. But Paul, on the other hand, said this. In Acts 20:24, he said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It's a difference between the two men. And Paul looks back on his ministry and he tells Timothy in so many words, he said, well, I've seen a lot of things. Timothy, I've seen a lot of things. I've been a lot of places. I've had a lot of obstacles. But I've fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Do we want to finish like that? Which one do we want to finish by? Do we want to finish like Demas? Just when the going gets tough, we just drop out on God? I remember in the locker rooms at Milan High School when I played football, a big sign said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Another place it said, when the going gets tough, the tough gets tougher. Or get tougher. Get my grammar right with our school teacher sitting over here. It Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear the Lord say, "Enter in. Enter in, thou good and faithful servant." Last week, I was talking to Rachel about her husband, Dan. Dan was a faithful man. He's faithful. He loved that Reformers Unanimous ministry. If I went to court with somebody, he didn't want me messing with his flock. He'd catch himself because he'd submit. He'd always say, "Well, you're the pastor, I know." But he was jealous over God says, "I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy." Dan was jealous over those folks that he labored for and prayed for. And he stayed faithful. "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant." Demas had a love problem. And that can happen, can easily happen. The Lord warned of the cares of this world, Mark 4:19, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in. Got Paul on one hand and Demas on the other hand. Who do you love today? Do you love the Lord at least as much as you love this worldly system that we live in? A preacher named David Allen Hoffman. You'll hear him sometimes on Final Fight Radio. He's got a study Bible that's a good study Bible. I think I got Jeremiah one at his ordination. He said this. He said that godly people are judged by worldly people on earth, but are rewarded by God in heaven. Carnal Christians are rewarded by worldly people on earth, but will be judged by God at the judgment seat of Christ. Do you love the Lord? And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to our Wednesday night crowd. I forget the saying. I'll mess it up. I try to think of it. Said that about the church, the Sunday crowd. You know, they love the music, love the preaching, then the Sunday night crowd, they love this and that, and then the Wednesday night crowd, they're the ones that love the Lord. I get exactly how that went. But you got to keep that love alive. You've got to keep those fires burning, that fire for the lost world that God put in your heart to begin with. You got to remember the first works and your first love. He told one of those churches that said, "Thou hast forgotten," in Revelation, "thou hast forgotten thy first love." I'd like to be like Paul. I'd like to finish my course with joy and keep the faith, run my race with joy. Where are you tonight? Like I said, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but sometimes we need to be reminded. Demas, I'm sure Demas had many regrets. Many regrets. Paul said he loved this present world, and he left the ministry. I'm done. Everyone stand up. You're here tonight. You've never trusted Christ. It'd be a good night to do that. I trust everyone in here is saved. I don't know that. That Spirit of God touches your heart and say, "I need to be saved." It's time to step out. When that conviction comes to your heart, you need to step out. Maybe you've been battling with something you wanted to do for God, and you just don't know whether you can do it or whether you got the time to do it. Remember your first love. Step out. No, anyone should be able to tell you here, I've never put a stumbling block on anybody here that wanted to do a ministry. We'll stand behind you and help you and help us to do it. All right, what page are we on, Jeremiah?